it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. It is time for my favorite program of the month. It is time for Secrets. We are up to volume number 356. Now, before I dive into it, there's a few things I want to take care of. First off, as we announced in our latest newsletter, we are discontinuing cassette tapes. And if you would like a box, just a random box of cassette tapes, if you have a tape player, we are going to put a box full of cassette tapes together. We're asking for a $20 love gift, and they'll be random. You'll get what you get, and it helps us offset having to count the inventory because we get taxed on it. And it also clears up space for future programs. You know, I do 52 of these a year, and Tex did 52 a year for almost 30 years plus. So space becomes a premium. And, you know, we have discontinued some items. You know, if they weren't timely, or if it was kind of a current events thing, then Tex or Sandra and I have discontinued items that really aren't feasible for today. But these programs that we are putting together in these boxes are timeless. Tex was always ahead of the curve, way ahead of the curve, ahead of everybody else. And these will be topics that will hopefully bless you and you can share with others. So you can call us and ask for a box of tapes, or you can go online to our secure shopping cart and just have at it. I had a gentleman over the weekend, got three boxes. I had somebody call and talk to Sandra and said, just fill me up a great big old box and I'll send you a great big old gift. Okay. You know, whatever works for you, it helps us clear out space. And we appreciate it. Second of all, a number of you have sent donations in to help us offset the cost of printing a couple of our more popular books. And I want to thank you for taking the time to help us keep getting this message out. And lastly, I want to give you a couple prayer requests. Now, I get about 400 or 500 emails a day, so sometimes I'm a little behind the curve or the eight ball, I guess, when it comes to getting our prayer warriors involved. But I got an email asking for prayer for Lorraine. She is a widow in her late 70s and had abdominal pain. And I'd like you to hold Lorraine up in your prayers that the biopsy went well, that she is healing and recovering, and ask that you hold a hedge of protection up around Lorraine, and I would greatly appreciate it. I also got an email from my buddy Khalil. He has a friend that's incarcerated and is coming up for a clemency hearing, and Khalil is going to write a character letter in regards to this friend of his. And he's asking for wisdom and direction for writing this letter. And I want to thank everyone that held me up in your prayers, Leslie as well, getting over the cold. I did give it to Sandra, and thankfully she hasn't given it to Rich, but hold Rich and Sandra up in your prayers too. You know, we all need it. And if you have a prayer request, please email, call, send a letter, we will definitely add you to our prayer board, and I will gladly pray for you. I'm honored to do so. It is a blessing that you trust me enough to ask me to pray for you. Now, I've talked about this in the past, and it's something that really irks me. It's the number of animals that are killed by these wind turbines. And there was an article in Red State about Wyoming. There is a group that monitors the population of eagles and other raptors, and they are issuing a warning. They said the population of golden eagles is crashing, having dropped by a third. Wyoming's golden eagles are in trouble and need the protection of the Endangered Species Act. Sadly, the authorities in Wyoming are ignoring this rapidly growing threat. The numbers in Wyoming have declined by nearly a third over 20 years. And Wyoming is America's golden eagle population center. It is home to the largest breeding population. It provides critical habitat for winter and migrating birds. And these wind turbines are a clear and present danger to the population of these golden eagles. But they kill more than just the golden eagles. They're killing bats that eat mosquitoes. They eat bugs. Bats are good. Killing hordes and hordes of bats is not good for the environment. And it's the environmental wackos that are pushing this garbage. But they have to put these wind farms up in windy areas. And that's what the birds use when they spread their wings to soar and just kind of float in air. They're using the wind current to keep themselves aloft looking for food. And these wind turbines are hitting them in the wings, and you know how fragile those things are. It's a death sentence if they break a wing. And the question that everybody should be asking is, where are the environmental lobbyists with all this going on? We are killing these creatures for an energy source that is not renewable, contrary to what the other environmental wackos will tell you. Well, I got this one out of the Western Journal, written by Jack Davis. You know, I reported on the Southern Poverty Law Center being indicted by the Department of Justice. A number of the rich donors had nothing to say. They haven't come out and denounced the SPLC giving their donations to hate groups to justify the existence of the SPLC. But there are two financial giants who have stated flatly that they will not allow donations through their firm to go to the SPLC. This is Fidelity Charitable and Vanguard Charitable. They are warning donors away from this bastion of liberal idiocy. Fidelity Charitable sent an email to a donor saying, quote, "We are aware of an ongoing governmental investigation into Southern Poverty Law Center. Consistent with our grant-making standards and practices, the organization is not an eligible grant recipient during the ongoing investigation." Vanguard Charitable also denied to send cash to the SPLC. They said, quote, "The organization has had allegations and/or charges brought against them for activities that may call into question their ability to carry out their tax-exempt charitable purpose," close quote. The watchdog group Charity Watch looked at the SPLC. They wrote, quote, "Charity Watch currently assigns the SPLC an F rating based on our analysis of its fiscal year ended 10/31/2024 consolidated audit financial statements and IRS tax form 990. Charity Watch determined that in fiscal 2024, the SPLC spent 69% of its cash budget on programs and spent the remaining 31% on overhead. We further determined that it spent $22 to raise each $100 in donations that year. Close quote. Charity Watch also noted that the SPLC has enough cash on hand to operate for 6 more years, even if they don't receive another penny. The House Judiciary Committee is looking at the SPLC in the context of its work that went hand in glove with the Biden administration. Quote, the committee has been conducting oversight of the Biden-Harris administration's close coordination with the SPLC on federal civil rights matters. They were scheduling regular meetings with the SPLC. They were giving them early access to federal law enforcement data. This is the Biden administration. And they allowed the SPLC's employees to train federal prosecutors. If you have done any kind of dive into the SPLC, you already know that this was a hate group in and of itself. They're anti-Christian, anti-free speech, just an evil organization. And now the truth is coming out. Got a phone call from my buddy Timmy on Monday, and he told me about this, and I had already seen the article about California about to become a testing ground for Google's most ambitious public health project yet. Google is seeking federal approval to release up to 32 million specially treated mosquitoes in California and Florida over the next 2 years as part of an effort to reduce the spread of mosquito-borne diseases. The Environmental Protection Agency is currently reviewing this proposal, and the regulators have not announced where any mosquito releases would occur if the plan is approved. This is part of Google's little-known debug initiative, launched more than 10 years ago, to develop technologies aimed at reducing populations of disease-carrying mosquitoes. So they're going to modify, because the male mosquitoes, according to this report, are not the ones that bite you. It is the females. So they're going to GMO these male mosquitoes to sterilize, I guess, the female mosquitoes. The offspring that the females put out are going to die, and it will reduce the number of mosquito-borne diseases. This is not going to end well, is it? It never does. These people have been putting out poisons like this on unsuspecting civilians for eons. Our federal government cannot be trusted. The bureaucrats that are making these decisions don't care about these mosquitoes being unleashed in your area as long as it's not in theirs. Not in my backyard or NIMBY. But they'll happily use you as a test subject. If you're in California or Florida, you need to be contacting your representatives and senators and saying, hey, you got to put a kibosh on this. This is not cool. Speaking of something else that isn't cool, Joni Ernst, the senator, claimed that the Biden administration used clandestine and possibly illegal methods to keep Planned Parenthood funded. Are you shocked? One of the most corrupt administration. Well, I mean, they stole the election, so why wouldn't it be one of the most corrupt administrations ever? But using a code word to fund Planned Parenthood. Ms. Ernst took direct issue with Biden's Small Business Administration, whose officials allegedly used a code word to circumvent any mention of the abortion facility. Instead, they substituted Planned Parenthood with Benghazi in all of their correspondence. And Ms. Ernst had questions. Quote, if this was done to evade congressional oversight into their $90 million handout to the nation's largest abortion provider, there must be accountability. I've already exposed the Biden administration's blatant disregard for transparency, but this potential cover-up demands answers. I'm calling for a DOJ investigation to determine if Biden officials were illegally concealing federal records over their egregious handout to Planned Parenthood, close quote. Benghazi, to hide the truth. We've all heard of the Clinton body count, the number of associates with ties to Bill and or Hillary that have been suicided. But this one, you probably haven't heard of. He was a 45-year-old reporter. His name was Christopher Sine. He broke a story about Bill Clinton meeting on a tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona, with the then Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Hillary Clinton, the Democrat presidential candidate, was under investigation for use of a private email server while she was head of the State Department. Now, Clinton and Loretta Lynch claimed that this was just a normal meeting on the tarmac. But this reporter stumbled onto this meeting, and you have to wonder, was this Slick Willie trying to unleash some political clout to kind of bury up what Hillary did while she was Secretary of State? He published his work in 2020 entitled Secret on the Tarmac. He insisted he was not suicidal. On June 12, 2021, he was found hanged in his home by his wife and his oldest son. The Jefferson County Coroner's Office deemed it a suicide. This man had said, I'm not suicidal. He had friends. He had played football at Alabama. So former teammates came out and said he had a loving family, loved his job. There was no sign of depression. He was a happy gentleman. And now he's dead. To further throw shadow on this, his widow had his body cremated 2 days after his death. There was no time for any other conclusion to be reached. Then his widow got engaged to a man she started seeing within a year after the incident. She had received a $2 million life insurance policy, and their home was paid off due to a mortgage policy. And now she has reportedly cut off his family from her and their three sons. But nothing about Mr. Sine's death adds up. A suicide when he claims he's not suicidal? Legacy Firearms Company released a list in 2022 of individuals with ties to Bill and Hillary who are now deceased. The number was 46, but that shouldn't be taken as exhaustive. But you have to ask this question. If somebody else had 46 people around them die in mysterious circumstances, would there be an investigation? Or would there be a massive cover-up? We already know that Slick Willie and Hillary are good at covering up shenanigans. Well, here's one from Blabberbuzz, written by Alan Hume, and Ilhan Omar, Democrat representative. Oh, she's Somali, but she is an elected representative. Well, there is a video going viral of her claiming that the last time the Alien Enemies Act was used was during World War XI. Listen to her announcement.
The last time the Alien Enemies Act was invoked, it was used to detain and deport German, Japanese, Italian immigrants during World War 11.
During World War XI. Now, she later corrected that. Whoops, I mean World War II. But this must raise the population's concern about these people's basic historical literacy. These are members of Congress with no historical literacy. This blunder underscores how detached many progressive politicians appear from the history they routinely invoke. This is symbolic of a much bigger problem. There is a political class that is more interested in ideological posturing than mastering facts, basic facts. Now, I came across this on Zero Hedge last year, and I've held on to it because I'm waiting to see how far they're willing to go. But the Washington State Sentencing Guidelines Commission voted 7-2 to recommend lighter penalties for adults caught in online child sex sting operations. They want to reduce the penalties. Jason Rantz is a conservative talk show host, and he argues this recommendation fits into a broader pattern of Democratic-backed policy shifts that downplay or weaken consequences for adults attempting to exploit children. They want to reduce the penalties. They are trying to make pedophilia legal. And I say that because a lot of people said that homosexuals are people too and love is love. There was a big push, right? That gay couples should be able to marry, live normal lives as married couples. Love is love. But those who have a biblical understanding know that this was just the first step in destroying the nuclear family and this country as a whole. And then we came out with the LGBTQ movement, the lesbian, gay, by transsexual movement. Well, then they added Q for queers. What are lesbians and gays? Aren't they queer? Oh no, but then they had to add the plus sign at the end of it. So it went from LGBT to LGBTQ to LGBTQ plus. You know what the plus is? Pedophiles. And there is an activist group in Seattle that is trying to rebrand pedophilia as a legitimate orientation under the euphemism of minor attracted persons, MAPS. This activist group is called Beyond the Plus. They're not stopping with gay marriage. No. No. Then they pushed for Mo's to be able to adopt children. This is part of the progressive plan to destroy this country. Who in their right mind would want to normalize adults that are attracted to children? This group does. They insist it's normal for adults to be attracted to kids. Now, this organization is led by a trans-identifying male by the name of Ali Katetsu. Katetsu is a white male who claims Japanese identity. Is this a mental illness or not? He is a white male who claims he's Japanese and he's transsexual on top of that. They are hosting bi-monthly outreach booths at Cal Anderson Park. They are promoting themselves as advocates for beings who are romantically attracted to beings who are below the age of 18. It's not going to stop until we recognize the fact that this is a destructive mental illness. Gay marriage was not the end of it. No, now they want to be able to have pedophiles walk among you and not be punished for it. This group openly celebrates Alice Day. It was a date created by online pedophile communities to honor pedophilia each year on April 25th. let somebody harm the hair on one of my little ones. And it would be better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and dropped in the sea. These people are sick, disgusting, reprobates, and they need to be locked away forever. There is no cure for pedophilia. Let me take that back. There is only one cure, and that is to become a blood-bought, born-again Christian believer who lives a biblical lifestyle. Other than that, there is no cure. And these monsters should be locked away, the key thrown out, hidden, destroyed, kaput. And for groups to go out and try to convince people that minor attracted people are normal everyday people and there's nothing wrong with it, and we don't need to put them in prison for their beliefs or their persuasion. Negative, Ghost Rider. That pattern is closed. Goodness. The debauchery in this country is sickening and disgusting. And if anybody tries to say God bless America, there is not a chance. They'll be selling snow cones in hell before God will bless this apostate nation. There are good, solid Christian people in this country. Too many are silent. But there is a proliferation of evil that is permeating our society today. I'm going to finish with this one. Al Gore. Let's finish with Al Gore. This was in Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden. And he's big on climate change, climate change. We're going to have the melting of the polar ice caps, and the beachside communities are going to be flooded, and the polar bears are going to die, and blah, 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 right? The inconvenient truth is Al Gore is a blubbering idiot. This so-called climate science has been tossed around willy-nilly, so much so that it is a sure sign that it is a fraudulent field of study. Recently, Al Gore warned an audience in Hollywood of a Gulf Stream collapse that will occur in 25 years. This is going to lead to an abrupt ice age. So instead of global warming, now we got an ice age coming, according to Al Gore. This was at the inaugural Sustainability in Entertainment Honors event. It was at the Hotel Bel Air in Los Angeles. Al Gore's predictions are infamous, and none of them have happened. In a 2019 speech at the Copenhagen Climate Conference, Al Gore cited so-called researchers who had projected a 75% chance the Arctic could be nearly ice-free during the summer months within 5 to 7 years. Didn't happen. But now Gore is hopping on to the ice age bandwagon. These global warming sciences are relying on rigged data. I've got an outstanding documentary on the climate according to AI Al Gore. And when we offered it the first time, I was kind of shocked that we didn't move as many copies as we normally do. Maybe because artificial intelligence kind of put some of you off. But this is an outstanding documentary that utilizes AI to show how idiotic Al Gore is. I'm going to tell you how to get a copy on the other side. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me a little bit of your time. We're going to have to take a brief pause. When I come back, we're going to dive right back into Secrets, Secrets volume number 356. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding DVD documentary by Joel Gilbert that we're offering through the ministry. It's entitled The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore. In his film, An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore proclaimed a climate emergency. He became the godfather of today's worldwide climate change movement. Al Gore is no scientist, but he has repeatedly claimed his Harvard professor, Roger Revell, was the source of his climate science. Director Joel Gilbert, who worked for then U.S. Senator Al Gore, digs deep and discovers that Revell had in fact rejected Gore's climate alarmism in spite of his claims. Through his investigation, Mr. Gilbert finds that the real origin of Al Gore's climate apocalypse came from his time at Vanderbilt Divinity School. Gilbert also demonstrates that Gore plagiarized a radical environmental book from the 1940s to produce his 1992 manifesto, Earth in the Balance. In The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore, Gilbert confronts an AI-generated Al Gore about his entire life history, his struggle to fulfill the political ambitions laid out for him by his parents, and his exploitation of climate politics to offset his personal insecurity. This film exposes the climate scare as nothing more than a political tool used by groups who wish to undermine free market capitalism and impose big government socialist ideals upon unsuspecting voters. This is a tremendous expose on Al Gore. It's 110 minutes, and it's only $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26 for The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you don't get a hold of us, please leave your name, your number, and a brief message. We'll call you back as quickly as we can. Now, if you want to order this at our secure shopping cart, just go to powerofprophecy.com. You can use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Whether you phone it, whether you go on to our online shopping cart, there's an ad for this documentary right there on the main page. You click on it, you put in your name, your address, put in your charge card information, select a method of shipment, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want to use one of those charge cards and fax your order in to us, our fax number is 512-263-9793. Just write down your name, address, charge card, expiration date, and if you can, the three-digit security code, or four, depending on which card you're using. And the note that says you want to get a copy of The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore. We'll get it right off the fax machine, and we'll process it just like we do every other order. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore. Amazing documentary. You need a copy. If you don't have it, get yours today. $26 postpaid. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing Secrets, up to volume number 356. Came across this article in March of 2026, written by Chris Morrison at Zero Hedge. He writes, the climate science world is in shock following the discovery in ancient ice cores that levels of carbon dioxide remain stable as the world plunged into an ice age about 2.7 million years ago. In addition, no changes in methane levels were seen in the entire period. Massive decreases in temperature with occasional interglacial rises appear to have occurred without troubling greenhouse gas levels, and this revelation has caused a near panic in the climate activist circles. The key finding is that over the last 3 million years, when sea levels fell and ice periods intensified, the level of the main greenhouse gases remained stable. Over the last 3 million years, global temperatures showed a long-term cooling trend of several degrees Celsius, interrupted by increasingly large interglacial oscillations. Critics are seeking to downplay this ice core evidence. They suggest it is too imprecise to provide a wholly accurate record of gas levels and temperature. It remains the best source we have of the environment at that time. When you hear climate change, climate warming, global warming, it's a hoax. Mike King wrote an outstanding book on it too, Climate Boogeyman. Goodness, it has been debunked. But these so-called experts, you know why they keep harping about climate change? Because big money donors fund their research. That's it. They're funded by big money donors who want to prove that we have global warming. The Bible says we're going to have seasons. That's climate change. We have winter, we have spring, we have summer, we have fall. Climate change. Goodness. Came across this article. It was in Fox.com, Fox News, written by Chris Goodwin. He is a girls basketball coach. And Chris writes, quote, the Vermont Principals Association had to cough up more than $500,000 to settle a lawsuit. I coached a girls basketball team at Mid Vermont Christian School. It's a small K-12 academy of about 100 students. He said, it's the kind of school where everybody knows everybody and we're united by our common faith and commitment to biblical truth. He coaches a girls basketball team. You can guess where this is going. Yep, 3 years ago, while they were in the playoffs, they learned that this team they were going to play allowed a male to play on its girls team. There was a discussion among the parents, the administration, and the coaches, and they elected to forfeit this game and withdraw from the tournament rather than acknowledge the idea that sex is changeable. Chris writes, quote, it's a tenet of the religious faith of the parents, students, and staff that God immutably created us as two sexes with clear differences between those sexes. Right there with you. He said, we chose to step aside, and we quietly issued a statement to that effect. But when the Vermont Principals Association read it, they kicked this school out of the league. They had participated for 28 years. And all of a sudden, they're blacklisted from all state-sponsored athletics. And then they took it further. They excluded the students from participating in all co-ed academic competitions. The science fair, the math fair, the debate, the forensics league. They cut the students out of any extracurricular state activities. Chris writes, decrying our right to think and live by our religious principles, the VPA, the Vermont Principals Association, not only denied our First Amendment rights, it acted with impermissible hostility to our religious views. With the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, we filed a federal lawsuit challenging state officials' decision to exclude our school from those opportunities. In September of last year, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit ruled that Vermont must allow us back into the state's athletic association. Over $500,000 in punishment to the Vermont Principals Association. But it's not over. The Vermont officials have still barred Chris's Christian school and its students from participating in the state's tuition program and other public benefit programs, so they are going to continue to litigate these issues. Chris, God bless you for standing on the Bible, on truth, for taking these scumbags to court, and for the courts to understand our inalienable rights. Good for you. Okay, we'll move on to this one. You know, California, Commifornia, they're looking to tax the rich. And millionaires, billionaires, and corporations are leaving that state in droves. One of the unfortunate circumstances of this exodus is Lake Tahoe, Nevada. It straddles the border between California and Nevada. It has been a summer playground and a winter ski destination for the rich. But now, Tahoe has intensified as the impact of California's proposed wealth tax plays out. Californians, rich Californians, are fleeing the state, and these deep-pocketed buyers are taking refuge in the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe. So much so as it is starting to rival Florida as a tax haven for the elite. According to Bill Dietz of Tahoe Luxury Properties, quote, California's proposed wealth tax effectively sprinkled rocket fuel on the ultra-luxury market on the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe. Oh, my. Right after they proposed this tax, Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google, bought a $42 million lakefront home in Crystal Bay, Nevada. Likewise, in December 2025, a 210-acre estate in Zephyr Cove, Nevada, sold for $80 million. The buyer has been undisclosed. In March 2026, Steve Jurvetson, a venture capitalist, shattered the Nevada and Tahoe records with a $125 million purchase of an estate in Incline Village, Nevada. The Bay Area predominantly is who is giving up their rich, their elite. And these people are flocking to Tahoe. I'm sorry. Oh, my. There is no corporate tax, no individual income tax, or capital gains tax in Nevada. California's top individual income tax rate is 13.3%. The top corporate tax rate is 8.84%. Now, both states do have property taxes. Nevada's effective property rate is 0.5%. California's is 0.7%. Golly. This is Tahoe by the numbers, okay? Record single home price, Nevada side, $125 million. The California side, $40.2 million. The year-on-year increase in the number of sales in Nevada, 48%. California, 11%. The median single-family home price in Nevada is up almost 41% year-over-year, while California's side of Tahoe is down 25% year-over-year. Cause and effect. Overtaxation drives the elite away, takes away your tax base. I'm sorry for the residents of the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe, but I saw in this report there was a guy who paid $1 million for his home about a year ago, and he's looking to sell for some gaudy number like $47 million. Do the math. A $46 million profit? That's a pretty good investment. And there's no capital gains. Not in Nevada. this guy bought a $1 million home and he is about to break the bank. Crazy. But the demon rats in California are going to continue to increase the taxes because there's no other way to raise more money for all these free benefits they want to give to all the illegals living in California. It's a nice place to visit. I've got friends there. You couldn't pay me to live in California. Gas prices coming up to 10 bucks a gallon. Taxes going through the roof. No, thank you. I'll stay here in Texas. We don't have a state income tax either. I came across this, and this one strikes a chord because Leslie was a teacher for almost 30 years. And at one time, she was a member of Education Austin. It is a teacher's union. I told her to join this union because the administration didn't care about her welfare in the classroom. They were putting thugs, miscreants, into her classroom and then not disciplining these little rugrats. And I told her, if you don't join the teacher's union, they're going to continue to dump these animals in your classroom. And so she did. And then I found out that Education Austin is a liberal group of idiots and told her to drop out. And she found a conservative union to join. And she was with them until she retired. But this report in Blabberbuzz by Jennifer Wentworth shows that the largest teachers' unions have transformed themselves from advocates for educators into financial engines for the progressive political machine. According to Jennifer, the National Education Association and the American Federal Teachers Union pumped over $1 billion into hard left politics, and the classroom be damned. This was exposed by the watchdog group Defending Education. They revealed that since August of 2015, its members' dues, the NEA and the AFT, have dropped almost $700 million into funds for left-wing political entities. Now, when you add in state-level donations, it hits $1 billion. Ryan Stanley of Defending Education summarized the findings in stark terms. Quote, "Show me your budget, and I will show you what you value. And what the teachers' unions value is political power and advancing left-wing social justice agendas." Close quote. This pattern reflects a wholesale conversion of teacher paychecks into a slush fund for the demon rats. There is little pretense that the money is used to improve classrooms or working conditions for teachers. These unions have worked slavishly to crush school choice, to keep families trapped in failing systems. It is a vicious cycle. And Nicole Neely, the president of Defending Education, said, quote, "Educators are victims of a bait and switch. Instead of their dues going to advocate for increased pay or improved working environments, they're being spent advancing a hard left political agenda, underwriting causes such as climate change, gender activism, and abortion." Think about that. $1 billion. Spent not on teachers, not on the students, not on the classrooms, but ideological warfare. How many of these teachers have signed up for this ideological warfare that the teachers' unions are imposing? I would hazard a guess and say not many. Then I got this one from Blabberbuzz as well, written by Lisa Pelgin. She writes that entrenched teachers' unions have helped drive the decline, prompting parents to demand alternatives that put their children's futures ahead of political agendas. In Louisiana, this demand has been answered. It is through a program known as GATOR, Giving All True Opportunity to Rise. This is an initiative that was designed to serve the state's most at-risk students and restore parental authority over education. It was launched in 2025. It provides scholarships that cover private school tuition as well as related educational expenses. This allows families to escape underperforming public schools without being punished for their income or zip code. Studyville did an independent review. They found that when parents are given real choices, students thrive. They surveyed 105 families and 190 private schools, many located in the same high-crime neighborhoods as the public schools from which these students were fleeing. Of those surveyed, 63.8% were classified as low income. More than half reported annual household incomes below $50,000. More than 85% of these families said their children's academic performance had improved. Not in the public schools, in the private schools. Louisiana's public school graduation rate is around 80%. Those children participating in Gator graduated roughly at 97.5%. 17.5% improvement. College enrollment figures also tell the same story. More than 81% of Gator students have gone to college. Only 62% of public school peers have gone to college. This program is delivering a superior outcome at a lower cost to taxpayers. So no matter what the union says, spending money in the right places will solve the problem. According to Studyville, Gator spends an average of $7,220 a student. Public school students, they spend roughly $9,568 per student. Doing it better, doing it cheaper, and not having to deal with the progressive ideology that these unions are pushing. I knew that a number of universities, colleges, had quit taking entrance exams, SATs, ACTs, for admissions policies. Now, when I graduated way back years and years and years ago, we had to take an SAT or an ACT. I took the SAT. I scored pretty well. I'm not a genius, but I scored pretty well. But then here lately, these universities have decided that, and I wonder if it's not from the DEI policies, that these test scores, well, they've always claimed that they are imperfect, that they hold minorities down, but they are supposed to be used as a measurement to see how prepared a graduate of high school is to attend a university. And now, more than 1,100 math and science professors from California, the university system in California, are begging the regents to reinstate college entrance exams. The faculty wrote to the regents, quote, "Preparation gaps are so severe that instructors must reteach middle school mathematics while simultaneously teaching the material students need for sciences, engineering, economics, and other quantitatively demanding fields," close quote. A faculty report from the University of California, San Diego last year said, quote, "The number of students placed in classes to remediate elementary and middle school math before they could take pre-calculus increased to 8.5% from 0.5% between 2020 and 2025, close quote. So while schools were shunning these entrance exam tests and allowing demographics to control their admissions policies, the faculty at the University of California system said that it was going to make it harder to assess applications. But DEI, no. Diversity, equity, inclusion. No, we got too many white kids in here. We got to do something about that. So let's get some unprepared people. I don't care what color you are. If you're not prepared to take some of these classes, what are you doing there? And the schools are not helping the problem by allowing DEI to control their admissions policies. In 2022, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, long revered as an educational system of higher learning. In 2022, they reinstated SAT requirements. They claim it helps determine an applicant's preparedness, and they can identify promising students from disadvantaged backgrounds. In 2024, Dartmouth College restored the test requirement. Last week, Yale University began requiring this test. The UC math faculty explained that students' knowledge deficits have made it harder to teach at the level required for advanced STEM work. And the professors warned that these problems will ultimately hurt the state's tech economy. Oops. Letting unqualified individuals into college because, well, they fit a certain demographic. Not gonna keep this country moving forward, is it? Not in the least. Well, I want to finish with this. Back in April, in BlabberBuzz, Tommy Wilson wrote this article. He said, Tennessee lawmakers advanced a bill that will allow, in limited circumstances, the use of deadly force against criminals targeting homes, businesses, and livestock. This is House Bill 1802. It moves beyond the longstanding life for a life paradigm that has governed self-defense law in the state. This measure will authorize residents to use force and in narrowly defined extreme cases, lethal force, to stop crimes such as theft, arson, trespassing, and the harming of livestock and pets. If Bill Lee signs this into law, it will mark a significant shift towards stronger property rights and broader immunity for law-abiding citizens who confront criminals on their land. Now, I saw a news article from Liberty Hill, which is north of Austin. It is a small rural community. It's growing. It's going to be a suburb of Austin before too much longer. But this gentleman bought some acreage out in the country. And he's got home cameras up, security cameras up, and he noticed some dude walking around his backyard with a machete. And then he watched this dude climb up onto the second floor balcony. And he was standing out there all crazy looking. And this homeowner just happened to own a gun. Now, he did not use lethal force. But he opened a sliding glass door and he walked out and he said, you need to leave or you're never going to leave this property alive. And the dude climbed back down and ran off and was later caught by the cops. Stand your ground laws serve a purpose. As a homeowner, your job is to protect your family. And you can't do it. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. None of us are looking forward to taking somebody else's life. But I'm going to protect my families no matter what. And it would behoove you to obtain a firearm. If you don't have one, take classes to learn how to properly use this firearm and properly store this firearm. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.